Welcome to the Sacred Feminine Power Podcast, where we explore the many facets of feminine power and why it is so important for women and for men to step into this power in our world at this time. This is Emmy from Feminine Revered, and my magical guest for today is Lisa McCardo, creator of the Inner Wisdom Awakening. Lisa is an internationally best-selling author, award-winning speaker, quantum healer, soul alchemist, and light council channel. As an initiated priestess in the Rose Temple lineage, she's a keeper of the ancient temple codes. She's passionate about supporting women to plug back into the source of which they were created, to awaken for expansion, find true purpose, and reclaim personal power the feminine way. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you so much, Emmy. It is my great pleasure to be here with you today.
Thank you. It's an absolute blessing to have you with us, and I cannot wait to see and witness where our conversation is going to take us today.
Me either.
Now, since my podcast is called Sacred Feminine Power, I love to start by asking my guests, what does sacred feminine power mean to you personally?
To me personally, what sacred feminine power means is it's an authentic power that often can be subtle, sometimes quiet, but also so fierce within its presence that it is undeniable. And so I premise that by saying part of my opportunity in this path that I'm walking is to really find the embodiment of the feminine power within me, because as many, I was very programmed to success and to going after and to taking care of. And it was a very early program of survivor, to be the survivor. I really learned how to do it the masculine way. And so as I'm pivoting the cup, if you will, and really coming into the embodiment, the true essence of divine feminine power for me is knowing that you are connected to all things, that everything is working on your behalf. And really, really moving into that embodiment piece of leaning back, which then in turn allows me to open. And in that opening is the divinity of receptivity. And that to me is our truest power, is the feminine.
I love everything that you just shared there, Lisa. And I have a feeling we're going to dive deeper into some of the topics that you just mentioned there. But before we go there, Lisa, I would love for you to share a little bit about your own journey and share a challenge that you have faced on your path that's really helped you to activate this power. And you already mentioned the programming, so perhaps it will be along those lines.
Okay, how much time do we have? Well, you know, this journey, this life journey has been a journey. I came in willing to go all the way in, is what I want to say. So as a sighted one from birth, I'd say that my opportunities kind of began then when I was seeing ghosts and things like that in my room as a child. And I was raised very religious, and things like, you know, sight and seeing through the other worlds just simply were just not part of the equation. So I shut everything down. So this lifetime has been a journey of remembrance and waking back up. And I would say the pivot happened when I was 25 and became a massage therapist. And through touching other humans, I started having my sight again. So all of that really was just preparatory action for I'd call it the big event, the big life pivot. So worked as a healer and in service to sight and to seeing and hearing and bringing in all of the clairs through this lifetime. Is, you know, 30 years I've been working as an intuitive and supporting humans. And I started writing a book 2 years ago. This is where the huge pivot, the huge awakening occurred. 2 years ago, right now, actually, well, in May of 2021, I started writing this book that is a pathway for awakening. And spirit spoke through me that there was five pillars of awakening: presence, connection, and then deconstruction being the third pillar. And when I got to the writing of that pillar, the kind of linchpin of my own life was pulled. And through a series of events, our family home was selling. We were renting it. So our family home was selling. My son was going off to college. was reconstructing my online on my online business, and my partner of 15 years and I, it was becoming known that it was time for us to separate as well. So I went through a life deconstruction. I was 52 years old. I got rid of 80% of my belongings, consciously uncoupled from my partner. And 7 weeks later, he died unexpectedly.
Mm.
And through the initiation of death, I was forever changed. I had never walked through the journey of grief, not that close and that personal. And, you know, I died. A part of me died. I kept dying over and over. And I really bring this up and out because I know that all of humanity is going through their own death rebirth cycle.
Mm.
So I will say that death initiated me, and what it initiated me into is a great remembrance and the next level of understanding of what my purpose on this planet is to be. And in some ways, we're really all going through a grief portal, you know, as we're in ascension and transformation. So the pivot of my story, or, you know, the fulcrum of my life, if you will, was that the death walk. And what's most important is the resurrection, the rebirth, and the remembrance that occurs on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing so openly and vulnerably about this experience. And it sounds like a really, really deep, massive initiation that you went through at that time. You've kind of alluded to this already, Lisa, but what was the hidden blessing or the divine meaning in going on that death walk, in having the linchpin of your life kind of pulled from underneath your feet?
Yeah. The blessing is that so much has been revealed. I've been taken into a deep, deep remembrance. And as I said, you know, I've been living and serving as a healer my whole life, but something even more deep than the work that I had been doing was brought to life through me. And a lot of it was this remembrance of my true calling to be one holding the divine feminine's essence as we move through the golden age. I have a series of events that I'm actually writing a second book about because they're so profound that they just need to be shared. I mean, it really kind of, I began to wake up out of grief and out of death. And I was in Mount Shasta last May, just a year ago, although it feels like a thousand. And there was a crystal skull, and I'm walking past this door, and the man opens the door and says, "Are you here to see Marie?" And I'm like, "Yes, who's Marie?" And it's a crystal skull, and my middle name's Marie, and my grandmother's name's Marie. Marie's a thing for me, which in turn is really Mary, right?
Mm-hmm.
So go in to this, see this crystal skull, one of the ones that travels the world, and I'm invited to meditate with her the next morning at 11:11. And I go into that meditation, and I, in the middle, it's like broad, you know, live streamed all over the world. It was a bigger deal than I realized. And she says to me, or I hear from spirit, "It is time for you to be initiated in the remembrance of the priestess in the temple of the White Rose, as clear as I say it to you." And I had no idea what any of those words meant. I didn't know what a temple of the White Rose was. So I Googled, and it has sent me on this trajectory of great remembrance and of next level of the truth of my purpose, which is why we're here, Emmy, which is really truly to awaken the remembrance of the feminine to this power and to, you know, our job right now, which is to escort this golden age of consciousness back onto this planet, the second coming, if you will, but this time of the feminine consciousness of the Christed One, really. So the trajectory has been profound, and there's just synchronicity after divine deliverance that I've been led on this year, where I believe if I hadn't been stripped so bare, I mean, literally I handed everything over. I then was asked to move out of my community of 27 years too. So like everything was gone. And the beauty of being so raw is that everything can emerge into something that is completely different than what we were once attached to.
So very true. How beautiful and how powerful. And I love this initiation again that you had with the crystal skull. That is so, so powerful. Thank you for sharing about that. Absolutely. I would love to hear a little bit more about the white rose lineage and what does that entail?
Well, this is the ancient remembrance of the Magdalene. And for me, what it entails is really a more of a remembrance than anything else, remembering a time that I believe many of us had walked on this planet, the last golden age, and that golden age being the one where the consciousness was more aligned, shall we say, with the principles of unity, of the Christ of consciousness, which I perceive to be the I am, which is really the force of unconditional love, right? Which is what, I mean, we all know it. We all know that love is the pathway, and we hear it and we say it. And we know that fear destroys and love creates, but really we're at this precipice as consciousness is evolving, we're at this precipice of not just embracing concepts, but of embodying. Like, we know that love is the answer, but are we willing to become love so fully that nothing else can exist that holds a shadow to it, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, the priestess pathway is something that I'm still deep in the exploration of. But what has happened is that my entire life now makes sense. And I see how I have been initiate of this for the 50 plus years I've been on the planet. I mean, down to like my Zoom code is actually the numeric rose code, temple code, like things that you just, like, I picked that 10 years ago. I've been working with a Zoom number because it's my frequency. It's threes and ones, and I love how it feels. And so I'm just seeing the synchronicities of my life making sense. And I had memories of lifetimes where I had walked that pathway. And so what I perceive it to be is, I'm going to call it an order or a council holding the space for us to rise up into a great remembrance of who we actually are at soul level, and giving us a space for the feminine to lean back into, to find connection and collaboration over competition, and to really lock arms and blossom the truth of our heart and our sacred flame of our heart and rise up. And we really truly do it together. And I believe in the wake of that, we actually birth a new earth.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Resonating with very, very strongly with everything that you're saying there, Lisa. And you express it so beautifully and eloquently. So thank you for sharing that. You mentioned now, and also when I introduced you, I mentioned the term light council. Yes. Could you please talk a little bit more about that and how you are a conduit or a channel for this council?
Yes. So I'd say it began maybe 15, time is a funny thing, isn't it? Sometime in the past, a decade and a half or so ago, I started opening up to allowing energies to move through, to speak through me. Words are my superpower. And they definitely come from the divine. So I perceive that I've opened myself as a channel for words long before I could really identify who was delivering them, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. The channeling piece kind of opened when I was a yoga teacher, and I would have people in Shavasana, and all of a sudden these beautiful words were pouring through that felt so good. And I was like, what is happening? Who is doing that? And so I sought some help and started, you know, really navigating, like, okay, how do you open yourself up as a conduit, as a channel, more intentionally? And I started, it was actually Kuan Yin, the Hindu goddess of compassion, that first started working with me and kind of teaching me how to move energy, how to move my energy out of the way and to allow this conduit of words to move through, but even to expand more greatly so that I would actually kind of almost give her the space to be, you know, get the cellular upload in my own body. So I worked with Kuan Yin and a lot of the divine masters for probably 5 years or so. And then And then we went galactic, is the only way I can describe it. And all of a sudden, this council started appearing before me in meditation, and they present themselves in their full capacity as 13. And I see them like beings of light sitting around a huge table, is the best way I can describe it. It looks like one of those conference tables. And they all express with a different light, a different essence is what I want to call it, but they are of the star seed, you know, the seeded star planets, basically. So I work mostly with Pleiadians, Lemurians, Arcturians, but I see the whole council there. And so they started giving me messages and giving me information to share long before we kind of crossed over. Well, probably started really around 2012 when we really crossed through that portal of the awakening. And so just messages coming through for to help humanity and to remember us to who we are. And then after this initiation more into the ancient wisdom, right? So I feel like I have this galactic conduit up and to the right, and this ancient wisdom council started coming in, and they are also 13, and it's the 13 divine mothers. And so I feel like the light council now is a combination between the ancient wisdom of the divine mothers and the galactic wisdom of the star systems, which of course we know, well, I believe there's no separation within that because of the multidimensionality of which we exist within. But it's been a process over many, many years of meeting them and then mostly just allowing myself to be a conduit for the deliverance of their messages. So I want to kind of demystify channeling. I believe that we're all channels and that we're all connected in a unity field. And when we open up to receiving and then allowing the messages to come through us, we're actually in really high level service, right? Because humanity needs to remember and to know, and we have access to it, yet the programming, as we spoke to earlier, sometimes it's just too dense for and heavy in density for folks to remember, to really access it. So I believe those of us who are willing to open a little bit ahead of the curve, if you will, really get to serve as a conduit for this greater information to flush through in a way that those who can't hear yet can receive it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That's beautiful. And I think now in these times of transition that we are in, with the veils kind of thinning all the time, more of us are waking up to that gift and that ability of being able to receive information and becoming that conduit or that channel in a very conscious way. What's coming to me right now, which is intriguing, is that with so much resistance to this transition towards the new earth that we are also at the same time experiencing on our planet and beyond probably as well, the ability to channel, or the conscious allowing, the conscious receiving of this gift of being a channel seems to become more and more important, so that we are truly becoming more and more aligned with these beautiful energies that are here to support us, rather than kind of becoming stuck in the polarization and the fear mongering that is still very much happening on our planet as well. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And I just also just want to add to it, you know, from our 3D lens, right, from our lower density that we've been operating in for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. Part of the agreement within that is that we learn through contrast, right? That we play through these karma things, and then we learn through contrast. I don't want this. I must want that. That doesn't feel good. This must feel good. But what was taken out of the equation is the unity, the fact that we are actually one and connected to all things. So my sense is that as more and more channels, if you will, come about and more awaken, we're crushing or crumbling the illusion of separation. So it demystifies this, right? It's not like, oh, there's these beings out there. It's like, no, we are one with them. We are one with everything. We are one with each other. And so when we really bridge that gap, that illusion of separation, then we really get to be in the infinite well of knowledge, of knowing, of communion, which in community, which is, in my opinion, you and I tied together in common vision, common pulse, common frequency, right? So we get to really become that. And as the veil's thin, we're simply waking up to the great remembrance that separation is the lie, separation is the illusion, and separation is being used as a tool of divisiveness right now to keep us in a density that our higher selves, our soul self knows is not for us anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm.
We're here doing the stuff. We're doing the things. And it's an arduous journey, but we're all doing it. None of us are doing it alone. That's my message. We are all walking each other home.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. You have provided so much medicine to our listeners just by saying that. Really, really appreciate you.
My pleasure.
Well, everything that you've has shared there, Lisa, I believe is connected to and aligned with the book that you mentioned already as well, Palace of Light, Finding Your Way Home. Could you share a little bit more about this? And congratulations for having birthed this book as well.
Thank you. Yes, it is birth indeed. Birthing a book is it's an arduous journey. And I just launched the book, I think 2 weeks ago. So I'm still in the afterglow of being a fresh birth, if you will. And what's so interesting about birthing a book is I got on the other side of the launch and I was like, I did it. And Spirit's like, oh, you realize this is just the starting line, not the finish line, right? So that's the beauty of bringing books into the world. The book, as I had mentioned earlier, I've always known I was to write a book, and it was very Spirit inspired, and much of it is channeled. And it is a tool guide for ascension. And it takes us through the five pillars, which are presence, connection. Then there's a deconstruction phase that occurs in presence, we get to come into this moment. We get to release anxiety, which is future gazing, and depression, which is past gazing, and really to breathe into the presence of this moment. And once we really move into the mastery of presence, then we're more able to be in connection. And that's connection to self, higher self, and source itself. And then the deliverance of the synchronicities, like, you know, the crystal skulls walking down the street, and the great knowing, that connection, the signs, the symbols, and all the ways the universe communicates with us becomes really obvious and much more palpable, much more available. And so we're going through this, you know, ascension, and then we get into a deconstruction phase, which basically, in my perception, means that everything that we had created from the old lower density, the old frequency, has to go through a review period, and then it has to rise or release. And so in that, there's a lot of deconstruction. We're seeing that on the planet right now through people letting go of relationships and moving and old jobs. And, you know, there's just this huge turnstile in the planet right now of, like, there's no going back post-COVID to how things used to be. And people have more of an idea of what they don't want, right? We're still learning through contrast. So a lot is deconstructing. And then in the deconstruction comes an ascension is on the other side of that. And then ultimately we are on the rise, which is shining our light out fully to be seen and to be of support to others, like a lighthouse along the pathway. So that's the Palace of Light. It is a tool guide, but I wrote as part of my own healing what my deconstruction and my dark night of the soul looked like. I wrote that. And so there's a memoir style account of my own journey that is woven through the pages, almost like a golden thread, like a tapestry of, and this is what it looks like. And this is, so it's very personal. It's very raw, but it also is a tool guide that humans can use, like practical guides for how we actually do this journey of coming home. And coming home is really to the light, which, as we know, lives within each and every one of us. And we just get to get into the remembrance of that as such.
How beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that and for birthing your book. I mean, sounds like a really, really beautiful and powerful resource for all of us to dive deeply into.
That is my hope.
I am absolutely certain of that. If our listeners wanted to find out more about you and your work, and of course, purchase the book as well, what would be the best places to go to?
The best place to go is to my website. It's lisamccardle.com. And that's MCCARDLE, lisamccardle.com. And there's a link to my book there. There's also a link to a 15-20 minute heart connection. I love to connect with people and hear their stories and see how, you know, we can kind of walk this journey home to our greatest, service on the planet, really. I really truly believe we're walking each other home. So I love to connect with sacred souls who are, you know, also finding their way and leading others.
Beautiful. And I understand you've got a free gift for our listeners as well.
I do. It is the, it's a beautiful meditation that helps you to find your way back to the truth of who you are, beautiful sovereign you. And it's a transmission, actually. It's an activation that helps you remember and brings, it kind of soothes the soul and plugs you back in.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for offering that. We'll include the links to the gift, your website, and of course your book as well in the show notes so our listeners can easily find them. Lisa, is there anything else that's arising for you in this moment that you feel is important to share with our listeners?
Yeah, the message is, well, this is what's coming through in this moment is, no matter where you are along the journey, like, just keep going. There's truly no going back. And even if you have to stop and rest a little bit along the way, just keep walking forward. Keep walking forward to the light. And if you feel as if you're needing some stable hands along the way, simply close your eyes, pray it in. Where are my people? Where's my soul family? Who's walking this journey with me? And they will appear. So it's just so important that we know we're not doing this alone, and that this is in some ways the most arduous journey we've ever done as humans this lifetime. And as my guides have been telling me for a decade plus, this is the hardest thing you might ever do, is awaken the consciousness of humanity and birth a new earth, but we promise you it will be worth it. So keep going, know you're not alone, and find your people that are going to walk home with you.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that with us as well, Lisa. I really appreciate the work that you do and who you are and who you're becoming. Thank you so much.
As I do you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Now, just for a moment, let's focus our intention and our awareness on this beautiful, beautiful positive energy that's been activated. And imagine sending this to everyone and everything on our planet and beyond to remember that we are all one, and that the more of us have the courage to step into our sacred feminine power and to truly embody it, the more quickly our planet will also heal and ascend. Thank you so much for listening.